Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Covering the whole land of Gokul with particles of dust, that demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Trinavarta Asura assumed the form of a whirlwind and covered with a dust storm the whole tract of land known as Gokul, so that no one could see even the nearest thing. Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshushun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gokulam sarvam avrinvan mushnam chakshum shi renubi irayansu mahagora shabdena pradishodishaha. Covering the whole land of Gokul with particles of dust, that demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. So yesterday, Shamananda Prabhu, he spoke about this pastime, and he also spoke about how Bhaktivinoda Thakur described Trinavarta Asura as... what did he say? False scholarship. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Sri Krishna Samhita, he says, the second obstacle in Krishna consciousness is false arguments. It is difficult for one's ecstatic emotion to be awakened until Trinavarta in the form of a whirlwind is killed in Vraj. In the form of Trinavarta, the arguments of philosophers, Buddhists, and logicians are all obstacles to the ecstatic emotion of Vraj. So, in the development of Krishna consciousness, in the material world, we have material emotions and sentiments. It's a very sentimental place. People are full of... emotion is what drives our life, basically, whether that be positive or negative. Love or hate, anger, fear, we're driven by emotions. So to take shelter of spiritual consciousness means to break free from emotional life and come to the platform of realization, spiritual realization, on the platform of oneness beyond the duality of the material world. However, in Krishna consciousness, we're informed that there's another level, higher, which involves emotional relationship with Krishna. But that emotional relationship with Krishna has got nothing to do with the emotional relationships we have in this world. Because people don't understand this so well, we have a thing which is commonly called as sahajya, which is taking things very cheaply, that people try to have a relationship with Krishna, but they're not on the realized platform. So first we have to come to the realized platform beyond the dualities of the material world, and then we can endeavor to develop spiritual emotion. So the point that's being made about Trinavarta Asura representing false arguments, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it's difficult for one's ecstatic emotion to be awakened until Trinavarta is killed. So until our attachment for logic and analysis is destroyed, then it's difficult to awaken ecstatic emotion, spiritual emotion. But we have to take care, because if we try to destroy philosophical understanding, then we've got nothing. We've got no foundation upon which to practice our Krishna consciousness. So it's important to analyze the difference between this obstacle that Trinavarta represents and actually cultivating an understanding of what is the nature of my existence, what is the nature of God's existence. So in the Sri Navadvipa Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that when Lord Chaitanya appeared, Lord Chaitanya was an incarnation, a manifestation of Krishna, imbued with the mood of Radharani. But by his own desire, when he appeared, Mayadevi covered the proper understanding of his identity from the minds of the scholars at the time, so people could not recognize that this was God himself. But following his desire, when Lord Chaitanya left his manifest pastimes, then Lord Nityananda, on his command, on the command of Lord Nityananda, Maya pulled away the covering so that the pure devotee scholars could receive the precious treasure of the scriptures, which means that they could understand that Lord Chaitanya actually was a manifestation of Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu, he distributed the mercy. It says, when Lord Nityananda Prabhu distributed the mercy, the fortunate living entities accepted and reached the perfection of happiness. So by accepting Lord Chaitanya's position, people were absorbed in transcendental love of God, essentially. But then he goes on to say that everyone should know the symptoms of the unfortunate living entity as well. It is he who is overconfident of the power of his own intelligence. He's overconfident of the power of his own intelligence. So it's an unfortunate person who thinks they can understand everything. Because we can't understand everything. Actually, we can't understand anything. The only thing that we can understand is that thing which doesn't factually exist. So for that reason, I say we can't understand anything. Because if what you can understand is nothing, then you can't understand anything. Just like a dream, if you have a dream, let's say, like the example Prabhupada gives, you have a dream that you're a king. So then you wake up from the dream and you start trying to understand your life as a king. What value has that got? You know, you might know all about your palace and all about your wealth, but it's got no value. It's not real knowledge. It's not real understanding. The real understanding is to understand who we actually are. So this world is compared to a dream, because just like a dream comes and it seems real for some time and then it goes, similarly this life comes, this body comes, and this life comes, and all the interactions that we go through in this world, all the friends and enemies, all the happiness and distress, it just comes and then it goes. So what's the value? You know, what's the point of all that? So an unfortunate living entity is he who is overconfident of the power of his own intelligence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he goes on to say that in Navadvip Dham, the devas, the rishis and rudras, so the devas are the demigods, rishis are the perfected self-realized souls, and the rudras are manifestations of Lord Shiva. They always reside in different parts of Navadvip. Although they are engaged in austerities for a long time, still they do not get Lord Nityananda's mercy. As long as bodily consciousness is not given up and humility does not awaken within, one cannot obtain the treasure of Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda's mercy, no matter what efforts one makes, even if he be Shiva or Brahma. All this will be explained later. So Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, there's nobody more intelligent in this universe than Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. But even if we're them, we still won't attain the treasure of Sri Chaitanya. We won't come to the level of self-realization and devotional service unless we give up the bodily concept of life, bodily consciousness, and humility, unless we develop humility. So this idea of humility, you know, people like to practice humility and try to, okay, I'm going to be really humble today, and I try and go around being really humble. But it doesn't work unless you give up bodily consciousness, because it's not possible to be humble if you hold on to bodily consciousness. It's not possible. In his commentary for Srinada Pisanichena, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that the first thing is you have to give up bodily consciousness in order to come to the level of humility. Because if we hold on to our body and our bodily identity, then we're identifying that we have certain characteristics. So we're either proud of our characteristics or we're ashamed of our characteristics, one way or the other. It's the same thing. One person's puffed up because he thinks he's very great, and the other person's all depressed because he thinks he's really rubbish. But it's just the same thing. It's the flip side of the same coin. So without giving up the bodily identity, the bodily consciousness, then it's not possible to come to the level of humility. And if we do give up the bodily consciousness, then automatically humility comes. Because if we acknowledge our position as a spark of the Supreme, then naturally we've fallen into our original position. So when someone's in their original position, that's a humble position. Because pride means false pride, proud of something that's not real. So for that reason, we're talking about Trinavartasura and the obstacles of the intelligence. So there are different obstacles in developing Krishna consciousness. One of the obstacles is this overconfidence in our intelligence. And that's linked with linked with the bodily conception of life. So there's a few verses which describe this in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapanalova yukamanobudhirevacha ahankarati amebina prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight constitute my separated material energies. So it means the physical body, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. They are Krishna's external material energy. Apari amitas tvanyam prakritim bidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So the body and the soul are two different things. But the body consists of the gross body and the subtle body also. So the subtle body and the soul, they're two different things. So I'm not this body, I'm not this mind also, and I'm not this intelligence. So this intelligence has given me directions that you should do this, you should do that. But that's not me. That's the manifestation of the modes of nature. So I'm being pushed around by the intelligence, led around by the intelligence. But we have to question ourselves that, is my intelligence something I should follow? It's something that people, you know, we don't question that in life. We don't even get so far as asking the question, never mind answering the question. It's like these thoughts come in the mind. Should I follow those thoughts? You know, like a desire comes in the mind and a feeling is pushing us to act. And then the intelligence is analyzing, should I do this? Should I not do this? And then the intelligence contemplates and comes to a conclusion, yes, I should do it. Now, why should we follow that advice? You know, why should we follow the advice? I'm not the intelligence. So why should I just automatically follow the conclusions of my intelligence? What's so brilliant about my intelligence that I should surrender my whole existence to it? You know, it's like you go to school and college and then you sit an exam, and it's rare that people get 100% in their exams, but still we're really confident that we're very intelligent people. You know, you might get 80% and you think you're great, but what about the 20%? It shows that we don't know everything, even materially. So we're following the dictations of this force inside us that, just by a casual observation, we can see that this force is not perfect. So Krishna says in chapter 3, Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaha miti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So this universe is going on by a superior power. It's not because of our power. Just like there's an example they give in the Shastra that in India and in Africa as well, I've seen these little, I think they call them geckos, these little lizards. Anybody seen them? And they climb all over. They've got little suckers on their fingers. So they go off the wall and they go on the roof. So they're saying that that little lizard, he's stuck on the beam on the roof. And he's thinking, I'm holding up the roof, you know. He thinks he's holding up the roof. If it wasn't for me, the roof would fall down, you know. And another example they give as well, a person's on the train, he carries a heavy bag on the train, and then he's carrying it on his shoulder. And someone says, why don't you put your bag down? And he says, well, it's bad enough that the train has to carry me. I don't want the train to have to carry my bag as well. So I'm going to help him out by carrying my bag. So that's our position, actually, in the universe. We think, well, yeah, no, it's very important that I do my bit. I play my part in running the universe. But actually, this universe is going on by a force which is far beyond us. And what we call us is just a part of the universe. You know, like the sun is part of the universe. The earth is part of the universe. The land is part of the earth. London is part of the land. We're part of London. You know, we're just part of the universe. And we're going on by the laws of the universe. But because of this thing called ahankar, there's this force of nature called ahankar, which is making the living entity believe that this is me. That this is me. But actually, this is not me. It's not me at all. So we should know our position, that we're in illusion. And we should also know about the body, what the body is. Because to give up bodily identity, we have to know what the body is. So generally speaking, if you were run over by a bus and then the ambulance comes and they say, we have to take him to hospital. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kijai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai Shishi Gornatai Kijai. So they decide, we have to take this guy to hospital. He's in a bad way. So they pick you up off the ground and they put you on a stretcher. Generally speaking, you would say they put the body on a stretcher. So we think that our body is that thing which can be picked up off the floor and put on a stretcher, isn't it? Bone, skin, blood, all of these things. That's the body. That's what we think. But Krishna's opinion is a bit different. In chapter 13, text 6 to 7, in chapter 13, the body and the soul in chapter 13 is called Kshetra and Kshetragya, which means the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities. So Krishna says, the five great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the 10 senses and the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms and convictions, all these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. So the field of activities means the body. So the first thing is the five great elements, which means that thing that you can pick up and put on a bed. That's the body, the bones, skin, everything within the skin. Then the false ego is part of the body. The intelligence is part of the body. The unmanifested stage of the living entity is part of the body. The 10 senses and the mind are part of the body. So the power to see is part of the body. The power to hear, touch, taste and smell. The five sense objects are part of the body. So form, sound, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Sound, smell, form, touch, taste. These are all part of the body. So how can you pick that up and put it on a stretcher? You know, it's like the stretcher that you see, that's part of the part of your body. So this room is part of our body, because for us, our perception of this room is contained within the body. Our intelligence, our ability to analyze what's going on in our life, it's part of our body. It's part of the body, Krishna says. So in the material world, we don't have this education. We don't have this knowledge. We're just taught that the body means there's bones, and then if you break them, sometimes they heal, sometimes they don't. All this different type of thing. But actually, what in the Vedic philosophy, the idea of what the body is a lot more encompassing than just this, what we consider the body to be. So that thing which is pushing us to act in a particular way, namely the intelligence, it's just part of this body, and it's acting according to nature's laws, and we shouldn't take it so seriously. We shouldn't take it so seriously. Unfortunately, we do take it very seriously. And there's a really nice example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of King Paranjan, which illustrates how a living entity comes under the influence of the material intelligence. So Paranjan is a king, and he marries a queen, and he becomes very enamored with the queen. And the queen represents the intelligence. Queen actually represents dharmic intelligence, religious intelligence. And at one point, Paranjan, he leaves his queen and he goes hunting in the forest, killing innocent animals, which symbolizes when the living entity gives up religious intelligence and takes to sinful intelligence. Then when he gets fed up with all of that, he comes back and his queen is sulking. But then he has to try and appease her and get her back on his side. And then he takes shelter of his queen again. In his next life, because he's so attached, the nature in the material world, if a man is attached to a woman, he'll take birth in a woman's body. If a woman is attached to a man, she'll take birth in a man's body. So he's attached to his wife. So according to the story, he takes birth as a woman. And in his next life, he's a queen. And he marries Malayadvaj, who represents the bona fide spiritual master. And he serves, she serves the king. Malayadvaj means the soul is now serving the spiritual master. So in his previous life, he was serving first of all, his sinful intelligence, then his religious intelligence, then he's serving the intelligence of a liberated soul. And through a lifetime of serving the spiritual master's intelligence, then he gets darshan of the Supreme Lord face to face and goes back home, back to Godhead. So it goes on for quite a few chapters in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. And it's an amazing story. Narada Muni speaks it. And there's so much involved in that story. It would take, take days and days to discuss it. But I'd just like to read one thing because the purports are very short in this section. So we didn't get much of Prabhupada. So I'd like to read a purport from the fourth canto, if I may. So when the queen drank liquor, King Paranjan also engaged in drinking. When the queen dined, he used to dine with her, and when she chewed, King Paranjan used to chew along with her. When the queen sang, he also sang. Similarly, when the queen cried, he also cried, and when the queen laughed, he also laughed. When the queen talked loosely, he also talked loosely, and when the queen walked, the king walked behind her. When the queen would stand still, the king would also stand still, and when the queen would lie down in bed, he would also follow and lie down with her. When the queen sat, he would also sit, and when the queen heard something, he would follow her to hear the same thing. When the queen saw something, the king would also look at it, and when the queen smelled something, the king would follow her to smell the same thing. When the queen touched something, the king would also touch it, and when the dear queen was lamenting, the poor king also had to follow her in lamentation. In the same way, when the queen felt enjoyment, he also enjoyed, and when the queen was satisfied, the king also felt satisfaction. So you'll notice there, remembering that the queen represents the intelligence and the king represents the soul. So it seems as though the king is just following the queen around. The soul is just following the intelligence around. And Narada Muni, he's gone through each of the senses there. When the intelligence wants to taste, the soul has to follow and taste that thing. When the intelligence wants to touch, the soul has to follow and do the same thing. And then all the interactions, when the intelligence is lamenting, the soul has to experience lamentation. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, the mind is the place where the self is situated, and the mind is conducted by the intelligence. The living entity situated within the heart follows the intelligence. The intelligence is herein depicted as the queen, and the soul, under mental control, follows the material intelligence, just as the king follows his wife. The conclusion is that material intelligence is the cause for bondage for the living entity. The point is that one has to take to spiritual intelligence to come out of this entanglement. So like Prabhupada used to say, everyone has to fly their own plane. So if we're interested in developing Krishna consciousness and breaking free from the miseries of this world, then we have to take to spiritual intelligence to come out from this entanglement. There's nobody can do it for us. We have to do it ourselves, each one of us. Then Prabhupada gives the example of Maharaj Ambarish, how he engaged all his senses, beginning with the mind, in Krishna's service. And then he says, materialistic persons who are under the full control of material intelligence cannot perform all these activities, means the activities of devotional service. Thus, consciously or unconsciously, they become entangled by the dictations of material intelligence. This fact is summarized in the following verse. Next verse reads, "In this way, King Paranjan was captivated by his nice wife and was thus cheated." So, we're being cheated by our intelligence, is the point. And we just have to examine our lives, actually, and think, like Tribhuvanath Prabhu used to say, a person doesn't join a religious movement because he's a success story. You know, people who have a successful life, they don't join a religious movement or a spiritual movement. You join because you're a failure. Everything you've tried in the material world has failed. You know, that's why we're here. I mean, like being realistic about it, we just have to observe our life and examine how many things did I want to achieve and how many things didn't really happen the way I wanted them to happen. So, Prabhupada says, King Paranjan was captivated by his nice wife and he was cheated. So we're being captivated by all our thoughts and ideas, all these brilliant ideas we have, but we're being cheated at every step by ourselves. You know, it's not that Maya is outside, is Maya's inside, is we're our own worst enemy. Like, you do it to yourself. There was a song I used to say, you do it to yourself, and that's what really hurts, it's nobody else's fault. You know, we can give compassion, it's not a nice thing to say, but, you know, it's like when somebody's upset, you don't say things like this, but actually the truth is it's your own fault, you know. Each one of us, you know, it's my own fault I'm here. So, indeed, he became cheated in his whole existence in the material world. Even against that poor, foolish king's desire, he remained under the control of his wife, just like a pet animal that dances according to the order of its master. Purport. The word vipralabdha is very significant in this verse. V means specifically, and pralabdha means obtained. Just to satisfy his desires, the king got the queen. So we took shelter of the intelligence because we wanted to satisfy our own desires. It wasn't for Krishna's benefit that we took on this intelligence. It's because we're selfish and we just came here to try and enjoy as a lord and master, trying to play the lord in the material world. And thus he became cheated by material existence. Although he was not willing to do so, he remained a pet animal under the control of material intelligence. Just as a pet monkey dances according to the desires of its master, the king danced according to the desires of the queen. So in the Bhagavad Gita verse, it says, Vimudha, we're being called a donkey, you know. And in this verse now, we're being called a monkey. So it's not very flattering. Our position is not very flattering, you know. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, it is said, Mahatsevam dwaram ahur bimukte. If one associates with a saintly person, a devotee, one's path of liberation becomes clear. But if one associates with a woman or with a person who is too much addicted to a woman, his path of bondage becomes completely clear. So for a man, woman means woman. For a woman, woman means man. Like Rukmini said, what use have I got for some, I'm paraphrasing, but for some bloke with his big moustache, the love of moustache in the Kshatriya lineage, you know, it's just a bag of skin and pus and blood and stool, you know, rather I get married to Krishna. So for a man, woman means woman, and for a woman, man means woman. Of course, these days changed, and sometimes man... I won't get into that. So the idea is we're bewildered by material intelligence. And we're following our intelligence and we've got nothing but trouble in our life. If we do Mahatseva, serving the Mahatmas, the purified souls, and we accept their intelligence, you know, even in the beginning, and this is the point that we don't give up our intelligence in Krishna consciousness, but at least... it's good to surrender it for some time. Just take an experiment. Say, okay, it doesn't make sense to me, but Srila Prabhupada is saying it. I'll accept it. I'll follow it. I'll give it an experiment. And if we experiment with the process of Krishna consciousness, then we'll find that the truth becomes apparent step by step. So it's not that we have to figure out everything with our brain. We just accept the knowledge which comes through parampara. But that doesn't mean that we're blind, because when the knowledge comes, we get realization and we can perceive how this is the truth. So it's not a matter of just blind following that, yeah, I give up my intelligence and I just follow what they tell me to do. The point is that as we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, then things become apparent inside and our path becomes clear. Our path becomes clear. So I was asked to say something about Narottam Das Thakur, because it's his disappearance day today. I think disappearance. So he comes in our line of disciplic succession. Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Narottam Das Thakur, he's mostly known for songs in the Bengali tradition. Many acharyas wrote songs explaining the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. One such song is Shri Guru Vandana. We sing it every day. And in Guru Vandana it says, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korya Akya. So Guru Mukha means a face. Padma is a lotus. Vakya is the words. Guru is the guru. Chitete Korya Akya. It means that my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So it's the same point that's being made here, that we have a choice. We've got free will. As particles of Krishna, Krishna has free will, so we have free will. Just like the ocean is salty, so if you take a drop from the ocean, it will have a salty quality. So we have minute free will. We have minute free will. Our free will means that we can either voluntarily follow Krishna's desires in the spiritual world, or we can by force follow Krishna's laws in the material world. That's pretty much the extent of our free will. But our free will is that we can accept the queen, our material intelligence, and follow that. And if we get a bit fed up with all of that, fed up with that stupid stuff, as the song says, then we can come to do Mahatseva. And Mahatseva, serving the Vaishnavas, Sushusho Shadadanasya, Vasudeva Kataruchi, Shyan Mahatseva Avipra, Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. Shinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyanta Stohya Bhajrani Vinudanti Suritsatam. We can come and do service. There's a big thing about service or sadhana. But service actually means the real service is to hear the message. We can serve the mission of the Acharya, but the mission of the Acharya is to spread the message. So if we're not hearing the message, then how can we be serving the mission? The real service is to hear, because the self-realized souls, they have a particular message. If somebody comes along and takes an interest in their message, then that pleases them. So all our service is supposed to bring us to a point of having an appreciation for the message. So that means Mahatseva, that instead of following our materialistic intelligence, we start to follow the intelligence and realizations of the Acharyas. As Narottam Das Thakur says, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, my only desire is to become purified by the message which is coming from the mouth, the lotus face of the pure devotee. Just to conclude, I was trying to make a point about Trinavarta representing the obstacles posed by materialistic intelligence, and the solution is to try and come to the service of the pure devotees to follow their good intelligence. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuranam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.